In the greeting of the Lord's Apostle Paul to the Christians in Corinth, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate today on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the second lesson, verses 1 through 11. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, our shining Epiphany Lord, the Lord's Christ, dear shining mirrors of God's grace in Christ. At the seminary, there's a student lounge for married students. Years ago, there was one in there complaining rather loudly. And I listened with my classmates for a while and then finally chimed in with the rest, trying to encourage him, and was shocked when he got really angry and he turned and looked right at me and he said, "You have too many gifts." I said, "Wait a minute. Don't all our gifts come from the Lord, the Holy Spirit? Why don't you just ask the Lord for the gifts that He wants to give you for your work and then trust Him to deliver through His word and sacrament?" More anger. Turned away and went right back to complaining. A few years later, he'd resigned his ministry. Jealousy and envy are nothing new in Christ's church. We all know what that means, looking at someone else and wishing we had whatever they have, especially by way of gifts and talents and so on and so forth. None of us are exempt. And the Apostle James, the Lord speaking through him, tells us that where you have envy and selfish ambition, you have disorder and every evil practice. So in the light of the Lord's Epiphany, we also need to look at the way the Lord wants us to shine the light of Christ. To be like that dear Holy Spirit, who here in this second lesson gives us good reason as God the Lord to praise the Spirit of grace, because He's always shining the light of Jesus. O God of all grace and mercy, you have called me, a poor, unworthy sinner, to be a servant of your word, and have placed me into the office which preaches the reconciliation. On my own, I am totally incompetent to perform the work of this great office. Therefore, I pray you make me an able minister of your church. Give me your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, of grace and prayer, of power and strength, of courage and joyfulness, of sanctification and the fear of God. Fill me with the right knowledge and open my lips to proclaim the honor of your name. Have mercy, Lord. And if ever I, in the weakness of my flesh, speak or act wrongly, please set it right. Help me as I care for your flock to give each one what he needs or she needs at the right time in the right way, and let no one suffer harm to his soul because of me. It's one of the paragraphs in the old Lutheran lectionary, A Pastor's Daily Prayer. But doesn't it speak well for your heart too, as you seek to carry the light of Christ and minister to those out there who need to see that light shining into this dark world of sin and unbelief and heartache? We need this so much. We need the Lord to shine on us as the Lord did to the Corinthians in a very troubled place and a very troubled congregation at that time. We've talked about the problems in Corinth before. If you went into a store looking for problems for a church and you ordered up what you wanted for the church to have problems, they'd all say made in Corinth. Reason being that it was an ancient city. It's still there, actually, on the Isthmus of Corinth between two harbors, between the Aegean Sea and the Adriatic Sea, and all this commerce passed through there. So that the archaeologists have found that sometime over all those centuries of existence, there were up to 12 pagan temples in that one town. And one of those pagan temples had up to 1,000 prostitutes that helped in the worship of these pagan idols. This is where those Corinthian Christians lived. It's no wonder that as a very gifted congregation, they also suffered from the influence of the world in which they lived. We, after all, are all afflicted with this dirty old sinful nature, the envious scoundrel that can't just accept the gifts of God and praise the Lord as he gives them. So Paul has to take them back. He says, now about, literally we could translate spiritual people, brothers. And you talk about being in the congregation, he's dealt with some problems up to this point. It's chapter 12 now in 1 Corinthians, about spiritual people. Brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Instead of having this envy and jealousy at the gifts of others, we ought to look at our fellow Christians and say, wow, what a miracle. You believe in Jesus as your Savior. So do I. I'm a walking, talking miracle. Because none of us come by that naturally. You cannot accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and confess him openly unless the Holy Spirit has worked that conviction in your heart. And nobody can curse Jesus and speak evil of him and say it was done by the Holy Spirit. So all around us, we have these miracles of the Holy Spirit's grace giving us this gift of faith to trust in Jesus, not only as the one who took away our sins and gives us eternal life by virtue of his righteousness, as important as that is, but as the Lord of our life, the one who calls the shots, the one who does the guiding, the one we're following day by day, our Lord Christ. Jesus is Lord of my life. I confess that because the Holy Spirit has taught me to believe that and confess that openly. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Here you're talking about the Holy Spirit, and you catch that in the context where he's called, first of all, the Spirit, then he's called the Lord, then he's called God. True throughout the Bible. The Spirit is the Lord. The Spirit is God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And he's the one who's working these different gifts, these different talents, these ways of serving the Lord in such great abundance, but never shining the light on us or himself in a way that takes away from the glory of Jesus. It's always about Jesus as our Lord and Savior, right where that focus belongs. The envy, that we see among us sometimes, the jealousy that crops up in our own hearts, is reason to go back to the Holy Spirit's word and let him shine the light again on that cross of Jesus Christ, where we have to ask ourselves, what is my problem? How can I want glory and honor for myself or for my own name when there's only one name that deserves the praise? Even the Father in Jesus' baptism, and we'll hear in a few weeks at his transfiguration, has the Holy Spirit shine the light there on Jesus and say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Jesus, in his life and ministry, gives glory to the Father. The Holy Spirit gives glory to Jesus by keeping the focus on him and salvation to us so that we give him all honor and praise. For this stinking old sinful nature of ours, that instead of asking for the gifts and trusting the Lord to give them, we're becoming envious and disorderly. There's only one place, and that's deep under the water of our baptism, day after day, drowned by contrition and repentance, so that the Holy Spirit is doing that work in us, leading us to be sorry for our sins, trusting in Jesus as our Savior, and rising to newness of life. Then we can appreciate what God is doing among us too, giving us the gifts that we need, shining the light on Jesus, showing himself to be the Spirit of grace with just what we need at this time and place. Glory and honor, praise and thanks be to you, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for all the mercy and faithfulness you have shown to this congregation. Your word has not returned empty, but you have gathered people who know you and fear your name. Give me also your Holy Spirit, that I may give you praise and glory for all that you have done here, and see the good things in this congregation. Then, O Lord, bless your word, so that it will be like a hen gathering her chickens under her wings and being a protecting wall of fire around your congregation. We need to pray for our congregation. And I would urge you as God's people with the gifts that God gives you at those times when you see needs and heartaches and difficulties and challenges arising here in this part of the harvest field to pray. Ask the Lord to give us the gifts we need, lest it be like he said to his disciples, you have not because you ask not. Since it is the Lord's will to spread the light, shine the epiphany of Christ everywhere, the need for the gifts here in this place are God's will. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. Praise the Spirit of grace for shining the light of Jesus and showing God's gifts for good. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. A quick verse that ought to give you a world of comfort, especially when you're feeling inadequate. Every year about the time that we have elections and we need elders or we need Board for Lay Ministry members, there are those men who are tapped on the shoulder and asked to serve in those positions, and that's when you really feel your inadequacies, and that's very normal. And sometimes when you begin to serve, you find that it just doesn't quite fit there. Years ago, a man came to his pastor and was very distressed. I just don't seem to fit in this task as a director of a committee. I just don't think I have any gifts. You mean you don't see your gift? You mean you can see my gift? You have the rare gift of encouragement. Whenever someone or myself finishes talking to you, they always feel better. You encourage them in the Lord's name. That was where he needed to use his gifts, and still serving as an elder today, the gift of encouragement. Many of you have that gift too. Don't take it lightly because you can say the things that people need to hear at just that moment. That's the gift that the Lord identifies in Romans chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, both about the gifts that the Spirit gives. And this is how the Holy Spirit shows us where he is. It's like you can't see the wind. You might see the leaves blowing or the dust in the wind, but you can't see the wind. You can't see the Spirit. Same word in the Old Testament, ruach, is used for wind, used for spirit. In the New Testament, the word pneuma sounds like pneuma, it's spirit, or sometimes translated wind. Jesus says the wind blows wherever it pleases. You can't see it, but you can hear its sound. And so it is with the working of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit manifests itself, the word is epiphany in the Greek, the epiphany of the Holy Spirit to show us Christ is the gifts that he gives. Did you see the list here? To one, and remember, to each one there is one. You all have one gift. Beyond the gift of faith to trust in Jesus as your Savior, you all have one special gift to use to glorify God. To one is given, to one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. The ability to take Bible facts, put them together with real life, and make application. What do we do? How do we do it? To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To have that Bible knowledge and be able to share it with others in a way that they can understand. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, this is something beyond just believing in Jesus as your Savior. It's listed here among the specific gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. 9/11 for me was a day when I saw it so clearly in brothers and sisters in the Wisconsin Synod, because I'm driving back from pastor's conference wondering, how am I going to minister to others when I'm so stirred up myself? But from the Wells website, these prayers kept coming to my inbox and email. Prayers of my brothers and sisters praying for the Lord's strength and wisdom, and that built me up. Restored in me that faith and confidence that the Lord knows what's going on. He will take care of us. His will be done. Others with that gift of faith were ministering to me without even seeing me. And to each one, a gift is given. To some, that special gift of faith and confidence in the Lord's guidance and strength. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy, which is basically proclaiming the Christ, whether in public as a pastor or a teacher in a classroom or out there at work, proclaiming Christ by prophecy or preaching. To another, distinguishing between spirits, being able to tell the difference in the religious scene today, what's good and what's bad, what should be taken and what should be thrown away, distinguishing between the attitudes, really, and the underlying presuppositions of their theology. Where is that coming from? Why should we take it or leave it? The gift of distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, better translated, other languages, and still another, the interpretation of other languages. We have new Christians in our Wisconsin Synod that have a gift for languages. They fortunately speak Mandarin Chinese, so I don't have to learn it, because they also speak English. And some of them, within a matter of a couple years in Bible classes and just being immersed in this English culture of ours, can go from needing a translator to being the translator, like Xiao Qing in the classes down at the Dinky Dome at the University of Minnesota. Had him for 2 years, and by the end of the class, he was the one that was doing the translating. The first translator was Yanning, who comes to our Bible classes. She's a doctor of research, doing research at the U on Lyme disease. Might not know she's a doctor, talking to her, very humble Christian woman, but she was our translator. Xiao Qing actually ended up translating English so well that when he went back to some province, I forget the name, just south of Inner Mongolia, about past central China, he looked around and noticed that there were English classes in his town, but nobody really could speak English very well, not as well as he could. So he started some English classes and used them as a springboard for teaching the Bible to more people. Now he's also preaching all over that part of the country, five different congregations as a traveling preacher. Xiao Qing likes to say, I don't preach like the Chinese pastors. Well, what do you mean, Xiao Qing? Well, they are always haranguing the people and just telling them to do this and don't do that, and they're always angry at the people. I preach like a Wisconsin Synod pastor, he says. What do you mean by that? I preach the law and the gospel. I tell them the stories that tell them what this word means for them in their life. And he's just as excited and animated about this as can be. It's a joy to see that, because I've seen it in class, even in Wuhan, China, November, year ago, last November, when he came, traveled 13 hours on the train to come and see me, and then sat in class and was my interpreter for the Chinese students at that seminary in Wuhan, and he would take some point and then launch into an illustration from their culture. I didn't understand it, but the students did. And they laughed, and they were tracking with that and following right along because he has that gift of tongues, of languages. Awesome to behold that. A wonderful way of spreading God's word that who would have thought of this years ago? And now the communist government in China passed a law not so long ago that they have to be bilingual within 5 years. The Olympics are coming. They need American business, Western business. Get more money into the country. And meanwhile, the gospel is spreading. And people who otherwise couldn't understand it are learning their English. Young man that I went out with making calls last Friday night actually told me, and this I had to ask him twice to make sure I heard him right. He said that when he reads the English Bible, he can understand it better than when he reads his Chinese Bible. I says, how's that? He says, a lot of the Chinese don't understand those words in the Chinese Bible. They're there as a vocabulary for Christianity, but it's not a vocabulary used among the rest of the Chinese. When they learn English, they learn the meanings of those words, and they understand the gospel better, God's word better, in English. That was a shock. But it's the gift of tongues in its modern manifestation. It's the ability to speak in other languages and interpret those languages. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. This is for our comfort, because we've seen Him doing this over the years as our congregation has grown in such wonderful ways, especially internally, in our spiritual understanding and our maturity that has shown up in very obvious ways. I told you about reports that we're getting from our treasurer about what it used to be like and what it is now. The difference in per communicant giving is something that you can see, and we keep giving glory to God for this because we haven't had fundraisers. We're not making people give pledges or sending them letters that say, you've got to give more. This is the work of the Holy Spirit showing us, here's your income, here's your God. How do you say thank you? And we do, and it shows. And so we're able to spread the word of God farther in a wonderful, thankful way instead of a guilt-ridden way like you hear of so many churches. But it's not just the stewardship of the finances. It's also the stewardship of time and talent. And that's where the Lord in His great mercy keeps bringing us new members with more talents just for this time, just for this place, just for these challenges that we have in this part of the harvest field. The Holy Spirit determines what gifts will be given to each individual and each congregation. And there again, as you see the needs and the challenges arising, go to the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and ask Him to show us God's gift for good. And as we all prayerfully consider what God has done for us and how we can say thank you to the Lord, with all the gifts He gives of time, talent, and treasure, we glorify the Lord and praise the Spirit of grace, because He's truly been good to us. Hear me, most merciful God, in all my humble requests, which I offer up to you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be glory now and forever. Amen.